So today is April the 14th. And, so we will continue to study on the interdependent cohorizons, which is called the 12-link. And Patch is new to us. And I think I am going to review some of the stuff that we learned so that it can be beneficial for Patch and Gretchen also. Because Matt and Steve have been here continuously. So how is everyone day? How is your day today? How is the day? Not bad? Yeah, this weekend we have my teachers coming. So pass, come for the retreat. And this is what we study. The 12 pictures, 10. Picture of herding your cow. Herding your cow. Take care of your cow.
Taming your cow.
Taming your cow.
Taming
your cows. Good thermometer.
This 10 picture we can study it for months, but he go very brief, so I don't know whether you really understand, you know. Because it's a lot of explanations on the 10 pictures, how our mind works, and we should integrate the method of practice, how to tame in your mind. It's important, not just only Dolly explained, but you have to to use different way to how to tame your mind. And this is a life work, not just only a day or two. Because you know that your mind is changing constantly, all the time. And this kind of pictures have been drawn by really well practitioners, Zen master, after they achieve some kind of enlightenment, so they see how the mind works. So they draw this picture to show us. Seem you have some kind of curious, Steve?
My only curiosity is in the last one.
Mm-hmm. This last one?
Yeah. I guess I don't fully understand its meaning.
Mm-hmm. So you want to understand the full meaning of the last picture? Yeah. So this last picture is is already the person already fully enlightened. And now he's beyond like duality. No. He's beyond. So now he's beyond duality, but now he engaged, or she is engaged in society, no longer being affected by society, by the external world. You know, like when we studied about the six, the 12-links, we see that the sixth sense, right, and the six objects, and the six consciousness. Now he's no longer influenced by those, by our sixth sense, and the objects of the world. And so he goes into society and help all sentient beings to know the way, to how to tame their mind. So you have to know himself constantly, just like the Buddha, after he enlightened. So he engaged in the world to help all monastics, lays, friends. But he's not been creating no more karma. He's not, even though he works, but he's not creating karma. So he always draw in the spheres of knowing, always awakening. So he's not, that's why he work, but he not create karma. But we work, we create karma. Either we create evil karma, or wholesome karma. But the Buddha know. That's why he. That's the difference from the Buddha and us. Even like the entering of the stream, the first enlightened know the way, the path. They still create karma, so that's why they have to reborn 7 times. Entering the stream, of entering the path of enlightenment, but they have to reborn seven times and die 7 times more before they reach the stage. So this picture is like, but now he's no longer like attached to any form. He can do in any, but what he does or she does, always in a state of awakening. Still awakening. So that's why sometimes he can go into the bar, but he's not influenced by drinking, nothing like that. But just going there to help, you know, to awaken, to shake people so that they can be awake from their, you know, from their dreamings, from their lust, from their designs. So this is really nice ways to represent our mind. But you already learned it. And I think one day I will teach again to make this. It takes many days to teach and to apply and go thoroughly. But he can do it in 1 day, so in one Dharma talk. So did you all grasp what he wants to try to say to you? But do you know how to apply it? You can understand theory, but how do you apply it? That's the crucial part. So we can explain the ways that might work, but how do we apply the method to transform that from different stage? So how you at the beginning, how do you look for the buffalo, you know, the fruit, look for buffalo, for the cows, so how you look for it? You have to use different methods to look for it. And now it's put into applications. And after you do that and how you tame it. So I don't want to go into this, but I just, because of the picture is there, so I just want to say something.
You would love that.
So I will write the 12 interdependent horizons and we call 12 link or interdependent horizons. So in this 12 links or interdependent horizons, there is a representing two sides. One is positive, other is negative. So the first one is like devoted mind is negative, and we call clear mind or true mind is positive, so the devoted mind is like upside down, in Vietnamese we call upside down mind.
Mm.
We call điên đảo. Upside down, the mind is upside down, mm-hmm. Deluded. We call vọng tướng, I mean, deception or perception, wrong perception, vọng tướng, upside down perception. Your perception, but it's upside down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called deluded. And true mind is called clear mind or clarity mind. The mind is very clear, so you're able to see things. So for the rooted mind, the first one is ignorance. And on the positive side, it's a clear understanding of true insight. So once you remove the darkness, then there is clear. So ignorance is something that you are lacking of light. there is no light. In ignorant states, you always irritate, angry, hate, depression, deny. And nowadays we call it deny, because a lot of us deny ourselves. And once you have clear understanding, you understand yourself.
And this one is volition, volitional accents.
And on the clear side, they call a great.
It's so called like volitional accents, force.
So volitional accent is a karmic energy. It's always push you in the wrong direction. Push you in the direction that you always create pain for yourself and for others. Wrong desire. Evolutionary accident is an energy that always activating us all the time. And it's wrong energies. Energies that push you in the direction of sufferings. So great aspiration, that means you have a we call bodhicitta, or great bodhicitta is you have the desire to help yourself, to transform yourself, and to help others. So like bodhisattva, they have great desire, great aspirations to transform themselves, to remove all the afflictions in themselves and for others. So great aspirations. So that's why they call two mind, the mind that always wants something good, beauty, and truth for themselves. So this is a repeat for Matt and for Steve, but always something that you contemplate. It's never something is learning Buddhism is something is never old, because every time you study it's becoming new, so you have different insights. So the same book you can read like many times, but each time you read you have different insights. It depends on your stage of mind. Sometimes you read, but because of your mind is unrest, then even though you read, but you don't get any insights or no transformation. But at different states of mind, when your mind is calm, then you feel much better and feel more joy, more transformation. So study Buddhism. Sometimes one topic, you know, the teacher go in different, you know, teaching many times, but each time it teaches totally new, different. The same thing I was in from this, you know, every time they say something about walking meditation, but every time it's different, walking meditation. So the third one is consciousness. And consciousness, we have, under consciousness, we have different categories. Under consciousness, we have four kind of wisdoms. So the first, you know, the first five consciousness, your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue. So there is six consciousness, but the first five consciousness. So this is the four wisdom. Okay.
Four wisdom. Okay.
So that then it's hard. So the four wisdom, the first five consciousness. First five consciousness, you know already. your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, and your body.
That's first five. And once it's transformed, so this is the on the deluded mind. But once it's transformed, it's become a wisdom of wonderful realizations.
You see everything is fresh. Your eye now is, when it's transformed, your eye now you see everything, you become very, become a wisdom. You no longer move by the, forms, different kind of forms. And eyes now is turned into its two own natures. It sees everything. Everything it sees is see through the mirror of impermanent non-self. And nirvana. And this, your mind, this and then your, so this number six consciousness is the mind consciousness.
So the mind consciousness in here they call Mano Vijnana is mind consciousness.
Your mind consciousness.
Now it's transformed itself into wonderful observations.
It's no longer the mind, no longer wrong perceptions.
So it's transformed itself into wonderful. Wonderful observation. So this is the mind consciousness. And the next consciousness is
mana. Mana. Mana is number seven consciousness. Seven consciousness.
And my consciousness always in the wrong perception when it's deluded.
You know, you perceive, for example, you walk on the road and you see the rope, and you thought it's snake. And you see human, and you know, in the dark, and you see, oh, it's, you thought it's ghost.
And because of the mind consciousness not working properly. But the manas is number seven consciousness is the ego.
Ego.
Or the it. You know, in Freud called it, ego, it. And it's always attached to everything's belong to me. Like me, my, everything's like that. So that's why it's deluded. It kind of sees. So can I erase this? Mm-hmm. But once it's transformed, it turns itself into the wisdom of equality. So everything is equal. No longer me and mine, but you and me the same. Because we all make up the same element, you know, the five elements.
Manas no longer make a lot of judgment, you know, because when you, if we are in a mana state, we always judge ourselves, and we don't see that we all make up the element of earth, fire, air, water, earth, air, water, space, so that outside we look different. Because we create different karma, our eyes shape different. But once, because we transform all the karma, and we're able to see that, you know, that's what the eyes of the Buddha eyes. So when we become a Buddha, you become a Buddha, you see everyone's. You no longer, there is no enemy. No enemy. Enemy in Buddhism, enemy is only ignorance is our enemy, not human. Because we cannot see that while we cannot seize the equality in each of us because we blind by our delusions, ignorance. So we create a separations. But once that removed, we're able to see everybody have the capacity to be transformed and to become equalities. So we're no longer enemy. Everyone's now everything's turned into love. So on that there is and the other the eighth consciousness is we call Ally, and this is the great mirror wisdom. So Ala Jnana is a store consciousness, it stores everything. Manas always grabs on, you know, like hold on, pass on to Vijnana and mix as a self. But Ala Jnana, Vijnana is the eight consciousness. It stores whole everything, it's whole the content, the wholesome, unwholesome, everything. And that's why we practice, so we bring up whenever we encounter the right conditions, the sea manifest. So it's important to have, at the beginning, it's important to have a sangha or a community of practice. So it can water your seeds, bring up you the, so that you can water the right sea, the sea that you want, the sea of wisdom, the sea of love, the sea of embraces in your consciousness. Because in your consciousness you have that. But at the same time you have unwholesome seeds. So if you don't have the right environment to practice, then we always water the wrong seeds. And in the wrong seeds in us, so we always suffering. So coming to so that's why we need the teacher, the right teacher, you know, the right friends on the path, so that you can be watered and supported by those conditions. Because you know, if you meet the right teacher, they're always talking about aspirations, love, you know, and always encourage you on the path. So you water the seed in your consciousness, so that the right conditions will be for you, so you can be stronger. So like just like the tank picture, you know, at the beginning you have to have the right condition. So later on, you need unfavorable condition to test yourself, just like the tank picture. Once your seeds of compassion, of love inside strong already, and you have insight already, you're able to see, to penetrate, cut through all the delusions. That's why you're able later on, and you're able to go into engage into society and to help, so that you're able to complete yourself in the picture. So at the beginning, we have to have to water the right seeds for us. So in our Alaya Vijnana, it's all kind of seeds. So you have to transform slowly every seed in your consciousness. And you know that your seeds is like a form of energy also, all the seeds in your consciousness. And so you have any questions so far for the first three? So the next one is body and mind.
Body and mind or form. Body is a kind of form or name. So it's a different way of saying that.
Mind is a state of mental mentality, and body is our physical body. So when our mind and our body are the state of delusions, and we commit wrong act, that's why the five trainings is important. Commit, like killing our body, we do different kind of killings. And that's why we create karma. But in order to have karma, we have to have the mind, intentions. So our body, we commit, if you are in a state of unclear or state of delusions, ignorance, we commit the five wrong acts, killing, stealing, sexual behavior,
misconduct.
Mm-hmm. misconduct, lying, instead of saying the loving speech, we always lie. The purpose is to satisfy the body, right? That's why we lie, right? Is to satisfy for the body, the desire of the body. We drink, commit alcoholic, different kind of addicts, drugs addicts. This is how the body create different, and then we go down to hell, and where we create that is affecting our mind. So, but the practice is if we have we observe the five training, not killing. We do the objects, not killing, and but we have the method of mindfulness, of awakening, bringing the energies of aware. So, and then once, if we have the method of energy of awareness, mindfulness practice, then we transform our body, the body of Bodhisattva, the body of Buddha, we call, and then this transformation we call transformation body. Transformation body. So now we will do a lot of challenge, a lot of beneficial work. The same body, but now we do beneficial work. You can be a social worker, right? Same body. And go into slum and help. Or you can be a teacher. New teacher. Teacher, if you have the mind of enlightenment, you can be a bodhisattva. And we try to lead the way of many people, young people. And you can be a doctor, same. But some doctors, they do harmful things. Some doctors, they use that, manipulate their skill of career, their careers. So we can do many different things with our own body and our minds. It depends on whether if we live in the deluded mind or we are in a clear mind. So if we are in a state of clear mind, we do, and then our body turn into transformation body. That's why you see, on the 10th picture, you see the cow at the beginning is very dark, and slowly it turns into transform, it turns slowly turn into white. So a lucid mind, oh, you know, mind becomes slowly in this picture. Yeah, see, just like this. You see right here, and even in the picture too. At the beginning, the why am I? You know. You see right here.
Slowly easier to tell in color.
Yeah,
it is.
And you see the cow here. See, slowly now it's and now it's turning to totally lucid. But see, this is very related to that. But later I will teach that in more detail. Yeah, lucid mind and lucid body. And the body is now got transformed. Even the cow. That's how. The cow is representing our mind, so our mind is slowly turned into the light directions. Now it's more light, slowly. It takes some kind of time and process to make that. So that's why in Buddhism we have different stages of progress, transformation in the practice. You know, at the beginning it's really hard to completely transform the act of killing at the beginning, because you have still, we have many habits, you know, and the right one just pop up, and then you just, you know, you commit it. Sometimes you intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, right? Because of forgetfulness, of unmindful. But slowly, slowly you developed, you get more stronger, more better in your mindfulness. And once the thought just give rise to the thoughts of some kind of unwholesome thought, then you stop right away at the beginning, so it's not manifest as an accent, right? That's what is more skillful on your practice. Then you you transform right away at the moments of you give rise to thought. That's the more like stronger practitioner. But sometimes until we manifest through our speech, and then it's too late. And then a little bit late, huh?
Okay, it's the fifth one. Is the sixth sense. Sixth sense, and into coming to, and then we have six. So six consciousness, six objects. So when the six sense come into contact with the six objects,
what's the six objects of our eye, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind? So the eyes can see the form, right? Form. Ears is the objects. Sound is the objects of the ear, right? You can listen to different. You can listen to Dharma, or you can listen to rock music. And you can listen to some beautiful talk lectures, but you send other sound that can damage, bring a lot of seeds in your consciousness. Because whatever you come into contact, it's become a seed, and that fall right into your consciousness. The eight alaza visnana. You see that here? You come into the sixth sense in contact with the sixth object. And this six objects have a six consciousness and become a consciousness. And this consciousness fall into alaza and become a seed and fall into alaza. And it's been there. And whenever you have, you bring the right condition in and it's manifest. So the practice is to guard, yeah, the Buddha say, is to bring mindfulness to guard the sixth sense. Because that we contact, we have that every day, everything that we come into our eyes, we see a lot of things in our everyday life. And you hear a lot of things, everything that you hear. Even, you know, the child's word, something that's uttered out, and you become into your ear, come into your ears, in contact with you. And that's become the ear consciousness. And if we don't guard our sixth sense, then it's become, and then we become very upside down. Yeah. So you have to be careful what you watch in the TV, television program, and even the news that you want to watch. You watch a lot of violence movie, and it's turned to a lot of fear. And everything you see now becomes fear. Because in your mind, you're right, mind consciousness already, in your store consciousness, and you become very skeptical. Yes, you see everything, so you become like doubt. And you say, you saw the movie, and now you say, I don't know whether that person is good or bad. Because you watch that, you want that see of evidence, and you will attract to that, just like magnetic. Now it's turned into energy, now you attract to that kind of environment. You see that? Yeah. So it's like karma, that's what we call karmic actions. False, volitional actions. It's pulling you that, but you don't know, because our mind is loaded, and you never unable to control yourself to form that. For example, like the people who are drink, and every day after they walk, they jog to the bar. Well, they have to go to there. That's like magnetic. Just pull them. So that's why we call the karma, we call nghiệp lực. We have nghiệp, mean actions. And in between actions, there's an energy, force and energy that pull you to that direction. Look, force. Force into that.
So the seed comes first then?
Yeah.
And then the energy and then the action?
Yeah, the seed, okay. You have the seed. And then you meet the condition.
Okay.
The condition. Water it. And then it's force and energy. And then you go into that and you create action.
Okay.
And that's why you create karma. So the six sense come into the context of six objects. Even the thing that you read, contact with your eyes. Mm-hmm. You can read a Dharma book, or you can read something that provoke your desire, right? So if you have that strong seed in your consciousness, so you draw into that kind of books to read, and after you read, and you it provokes your desire, so that desire draws you to create the actions, to generate the actions. This thing that you hear, the thing that you read, the thing that you see. So that's why the Buddha said that you be very careful with our six senses. That is the gate to lead you into the hell realm, or the gate that leads you to nirvana in the present moment, in the present life. This is clear. Later we will have contacts, feelings. So the skillful practitioner is always guarding the sixth sense of what they see, of what you eat. Because what you eat also is important. It's digestion. What you eat is once you eat, and it generates the energy. Right? For example, if you eat a lot of non-vegetable, you know, meat, and an animal they have an energy, they have that. But every day you just keep consuming and you don't know. Before we, nobody show you that. Nobody show us that. And then why we always draw into that direction. So the number six is, now we go into number six, is contact.
What's the true mind for number five?
Number five.
Conscious, or mindful consumption? Or?
For this one?
Yeah.
Number five is called, the sixth sense is the result body. So what you see, and it's result the body. They call result body.
Transformation body?
So the result body, for example, is the result body of the Buddha, or the result body of us. We have different marks on our body, right? And the result body of, you have 32 gray marks, 80 minor marks in his body. And that's his result of his many lifetime. You know? For example, in his chest, he have a, we call arms, swastika,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And his body always radiate light. It's one of his mark, mm-hmm. Clear light. So whenever in his forehead, he have what we call the sick eyes. So always have the light in here. So whenever he give Dharma talk, the light radiate out. So that's one of his result body. Smart in his body, even his in his feet, under his feet there's the wheel of life under his feet, because he had many lifetime, he had made mindfulness step his many lifetime, not to step on killing, you know. So always he generates the compassion and love. That's why even though he's dead, but somehow he don't. He always generate love, so you know, even the things, the answer that he don't see, he might get there on, but they got transformed. But for us, no. Yeah. For us, no.
I have to start all over again.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
You step on the arm because you never have, you know, and you might, you want to kill the ant, sometimes you see the ant, and you step on it to kill it, you know. But the Buddha, he see it, and he just, you know, sidestep, or, you know, or even accidentally, you know, and he send the love right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if able. So that's why in the Gatha, we say that every morning when we get up from the bed, step out, we have a Gatha. Say, if I step and accidentally, but I don't know that, so we pray you to transform. If I kill you, you know, without intentions, so you please go to the, you know, like
transform yourself and go into the realms of goodness, the realm of so that you can continue the practice in different, you know, a better body. So right away at the beginning, we have to have give rise to compassion right away. And we make a step as a practitioner. So there is a different gathas to practice to generate bodhicitta, generate the maya of love. So contact, if we live in forgetfulness, we always have unmindful forgetfulness, unmindful contact, right? And then we create a lot of suffering for ourselves. But on the right, so we contact with the maybe desire, wrong desire, contact. So namasik is contact. So if we contact with our eyes with unmindful contact. And then you give rise to wrong desire right away. So on the two mind, they have mindfulness contact. Same thing like if the awakened being, they contact, right? They have eyes, they contact with things. But they contact with mindfulness. But for us, sometimes most of the time we contact with unmindfulness, forgetfulness. But sometimes we do contact with mindfulness. If you are strong practitioners.
So is that basically recognizing something is there,
yeah,
but not labeling it,
yeah,
as a nice car or a bad person, or
yeah,
a,
mm-hmm,
you know,
yeah,
good weather,
yeah,
or good bad
weather,
whatever.
Weather.
Yeah.
You know it. You know. Even the wrong, you know wrong. Right, you know right. But because you don't label it. See? So if the person is like a killer, you know it's a killer. So you know to avoid. Right? Or you can help him. Either if you're strong, you can help him to transform him. Just like Buddha. When he met the serial killer,
Ungulimala,
right? But for us, we might run away because we are not run away. But the Buddha, he just keep walking, and Umuligala never catch him. And Umula say, "Stop, man, Gautama, stop!" And they say, the Buddha say, "I already stop." And say, "How can you still run?" And you say, "You stop." The Buddha say that I stopped killing already. I stopped, me and my mind, I have no more killing. I stopped that. But you still running. Your thought of killing still running. And he's realizing. And say, "Oh Buddha, my mind, I stopped killing already. But you are still, in your mind, your thought of killing is still running." So we have to know. So you have to be very careful, otherwise it's like a knife. It can cut you. So you know what is right, what is wrong, but if you know yourself, whether you handle the situation, if you cannot handle the situation, you have to find a better way to rescue yourself. Yeah. So for example, for me, if somebody was, you know, a killer, I had to run. I come into contact with people, but I know that people that I now have the marriage, you know, strong enough yet to transform them. So I better not to let them commit more karma, bad karma. So I better run away. So you come in contact, that's why you say mindfulness contact. Mindfulness contact. We contact every day. This is all about life. You know, we study the 12 interdependent qualities, we study about life. How we make a contact in everyday life, so that we don't wait further our volitional actions. And contacts always create feeling, right?
your eye contact with something, it gives rise to some kind of feeling. Even if you touch it or not, it creates some kind of feeling. Contact.
You think the Buddha have feeling?
Yes, he's a human.
Mindfulness feeling. So feeling they have pleasant feelings, neutral feeling, right? And unpleasant feeling. So the awakened beings, they also have feelings. Because in order to act, you have to feel it, right? So we feel pity. You saw a jaw and then you feel pity. And then you act upon your feeling. You say, so for a mother, for example, they have feeling for her children. So if she saw her children crying, so she have a feeling of love for her children. So based on that feeling, she act. She try to do something to comfort her children. So that kind of feeling is bringing an action that can heal the situation. But at the same time, a feeling can be a damaged feeling, a very destroying feeling. The feeling of thirst. So Buddha have feeling for sentient beings. Feeling of love, feeling of compassion for sentient beings. He sees feeling sentient beings is suffering, drowning in samsara war. They enjoy that. I don't know, they enjoy that. So the Buddha see that, there is no way that they can get out of that. So the Buddha have to use the Dharma, but in different way. It depend on the level of sentient beings. Depend on the understanding of the human beings. So we have feelings for sentient beings.
Well, in the feelings, any the deluded mind bring up so much impulsiveness.
Oh, yeah.
It can bring up so much impulsiveness. I mean, that's something I had to learn a long time ago, is not to act on what I feel right away.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's a Dharma tape talking about bringing the CD, you get a seed that comes up, and
mm-hmm.
Just take the CD tape and mm-hmm. put it back down again and bring another one up.
Yes.
Because my impulsiveness has never been good for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So sometimes feelings arise in yourself, a feeling of anger, for example. So if you feel anger at that moment, and you think it's, if you act right way, you will create a lot of damage for your consciousness and for yourself. And so the Buddha recommends at moments we better not act right away. So there are different ways to transform the feelings. But if a feeling of love, you need to act. Feel love, you need to act. For example, in emergencies, then you see and you feel, and you have to act right away. So you act on that based on your love, your compassion, your love and kindness. But if you have a feeling of anger, a feeling of irritation, a feeling of killing, then you have to not to act. So it depends what kind of feeling you have. So our body is very sensitive to feeling, you know that. Very sensitive to feeling. So the sixth sense, whatever you come to, you give rise to the, For example, you see a picture, and that picture provokes some kind of seeing you, and you have, it's often, even you don't touch, but you have a feeling, emotion, feeling right away. And you see the energy is coming up. You act on that feel, that energy, unhealthy energy, then you create damage, big damage, imprint in your consciousness. A feeling of craving, for example.
So we have to learn to how to work with our feelings. How to work with our feelings.
So if you have an unpleasant feeling in you,
and you know that you have an unpleasant feeling after a working day, you don't feel well. So you have to find space, a space for yourself, to let your feeling come. This is very, very easy to give up, to give rise to a feeling. Very easy, because our body create construct in a way that always feeling is there. Even touch, even see, even hear. You know, when you hear the sound, you hear the music, you have some kind of feeling. Feeling. Although you don't see it, but you feel it. The sound that goes through your ears. Consciousness. So this is our whole sentient beings. The 12 links. Our whole sentient beings. And feelings is imprint a lot of many imprints in our consciousness. It's invisible. It's invisible, but it's there. And next one is craving. Is craving.
Can I ask a question about feelings? Mm-hmm. I just thought about this. So you were talking about imprints. Is that the same thing as a seed?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a seed that imprints in your consciousness.
Okay.
The more you thought about it, the more it becomes stronger, just like craving. So you're craving for a feeling. When you come in contact, give rise to the feeling, and you crave for something that you are lacking. And craving always a lot to go with the body. Because your body, for example, you're craving for sugar, for sweet, and you know that you are lacking some kind of sweet here is maybe have more like love, sweet love. So an aspect of manifestation of lacking of love. And you will be never satisfied once as a human. It's very hard to satisfy the craving. It's endless. And you crave a sugar and then you eat a spoon of sugar, you have a feed yourself a spoon of sugar, and a couple of minutes later, you're craving again. It's endless. Just like addict craving. So people like just like people who use cocaine, and they thought that you know once they give themselves a shot or you know a pot of cocaine, and they thought that they will satisfy that moment, but maybe a couple of hours later, maybe the next day, they're craving again. So craving is like endless ocean of craving. So the Buddha said that you never able to satisfy the craving. It's just like an ocean. The more you drink short water, then you cannot be really satisfied. It's craving is like short water. You never able to satisfy. Unless and the more you crave, the more your karma becomes stronger. This is the enforcing itself. So on the clear side, they have the four four immeasurable mind. So the mind of love, the mind of compassion, the mind of joy, the
mind of letting go of equanimity.
Okay, that's the same thing as the four immeasurables, right? But
yeah.
It's just the mind of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's more four immeasurable minds.
So that's, this is where the practitioner develop instead of craving this one. So they develop the mind of love, for example. Love here, love is very vast in definition, right? So in Buddhism, the mind of love here is more like the love that is lucid love, the love without conditions. For example, the Buddha allowed all his disciples with any conditions. They help him, he help them, and he go. And after you got transformed. So just like your love for your children, most of the mother, there is mother they have love with conditions, but there is mother that love the children without any conditions. And love always bring healing. So all of this is like four immeasurable minds or craving is all in us, in our mind, in our store consciousness. So which one you want to develop, which one to want to water it? So you choose, we call selective watering. Selective. You choose. And you have the choice here. Nobody is limiting you or anything. You have the choice. We call selective, you have the choice to select whichever seed you want to practice. But as a human being, we all have a tendency to want to be good, yes? But because we don't have the right conditions, we don't meet the right conditions, the right environment. Even in the evil one, you know, just like Bumaligala, he want to be good, but because he meet the wrong teacher. He meet the wrong teacher. So at the beginning, his mind is very want to be good, want to be truth, want to be beauty, because of the teacher lead him the right wrong directions. So that's why he become a circular. Just the same thing as a child. If you have the right environment for them, they will grow beautiful by body and mind. Of our society in school, we don't have the right school for them, don't meet the right friends, and they're deluded by this, you see, they're deluded by this, and the more they're deluded by this, they fall into a trap and it's never able to. That's why there's an image like an elephant and go into the mud. Never can able to pull the body out, because the more they try to, you know, the more it sinks in the mud. And some people like that too, you know, they fall in that trap and they cannot get themselves out of the trap. So that's why the Buddha or the Buddhism, they never blame, they never condemn. See, they see that and they give up to this mind. Rescue, bring them out. But sometimes we as parents, we blame our children, right? We blame them. Because we have no way. Nobody shows the way. So the four immeasurable mind is very it's very important to develop day in our life, develop the lucid love, clear love, the love of unconditions, and develop the compassion in our heart to make it alive. Sometimes we have, but we make it die. It's never have a chance to grow. Never chance to grow. And the joy in us, the joy, healthy joy. Sometimes we have joy, but that joy is not healthy. Right? because you see that you want to watch the movie, you want to have some joy, some entertainment, right? But it's not the right choice. It's the right choice that you entertain yourself. And the more you enjoy that, and you immerse yourself into that, because you thought that is the right choice to immerse yourself. And then when you found that, and you're very hard to let it go, addicted to the movie, addicted to the movie, addicted to that program. It's like cocaine. Sometimes you listen to the music and you just make yourself enjoy that music, but you know that it's not healthy, but you're not able to get yourself out into that. So you have to have a bodhisattva and come and wake you up. Yes. Take you out of the dreams and help you out. That's why we need bodhisattva. Bodhisattva. People come and wake, shake you and get you out of there. Bring you out of the situations. It's like Buddha, he bring the Omeligala out of the situation. If the Omeligala, if he don't meet the teacher, then he never, because he said that now society is going to blame me, kill me, ever to see and kill me. He's a serial killer, killed 999 people already. And everybody seen, afraid, condemned, blamed. Nobody able to bring him out unless you know strong Buddha with love and compassion. Same thing like that. In our society we have a lot of prison, and those people always get condemned and blamed. We always condemn them and blame them too. But because we don't have the ability, the capacity to help them. Those people need love, they don't need condemn, they don't need blame. So that's why in Buddhism we have bodhisattva, we call unwholesome bodhisattva. They pretend to be like devil bodhisattva. And they're going to hell. They volunteer to go to hell. Help those people. So we need the bodhisattva like that in our society. In our society, to go into the prisons, jail, and seek those people and love them. They don't need any condemn. So this is like picture number 10. Ready to go into sight. Have any question for craving? So as you progress on your practice, you will see all this. You will see more clear when it's come to you, when it gives rise into your mind process. You see it right away, and you recognize it right away, and you have the tools to practice. At that moment, you stop. Take a deep breath, calm your, take really deep breath, and aware that you have that feelings, you have that energy. And once you have, you're able to calm yourself and you know what to do, the practice is to stop and know what to act, what to do. Once you have a feeling of cravings, take a deep breath. Don't act right away, because you act right away, you will create damage right away. And this is everybody. We have more or less. The Buddha have craving too, but because he have so much of this, he does not have a chance to come up. Now have a chance to come up. And all this transform this. So you have, if you have this 99%, and this will be all made transformed and turn into this.
So nothing left behind. You don't left. Nothing is trust. This is trust, but because of this, you have more like four immeasurable, and you go and embrace and transform. And you make this into flower, into love, love and kindness. Turn craving into love and kindness. So that's why in Buddhism we don't leave anything behind. All get transformed. We don't condemn craving. We don't blame craving. But we transform craving. Without craving, you have nothing to work. See? Without trust, you have no flower. So this matter is, you know how to work with it. Without feeling, then you don't have the mindfulness feeling. So if you try to run away with this body, or try to do damage to this body, then you have nothing to work on with. So that's why many young people, they don't know. And they try to revenge this body, see, by suiciding, or you know, people in psychology we call people scratch their body and you know like abuse their body, because they don't have the tools, they don't have the insights to work with, they don't have the insight. But if you imagine that all this will be like they try to do away with all this, where can they go? With the body, with the mind, with the sixth sense. So we have to educate our young people. You don't hurt your body, you don't use, you don't abuse your body, you work with your body. Because they don't know, nobody saw them that this body is valuable, this body is a raft, it's transformed. They need this raft to go to the soul. Happiness is this body, but at the same time, happiness is also this body. So if the matter is know the skill to work with this body. Know to moderate of your eating so that you can have a good body. See? But if you abuse your body, you depress, and you just keep eating, you moderate your eating, and you blend this body. How can? Craving and you eat. You're not able to manage your eating, right? And become eating disorder, obese. So we're not able to manage our craving. So the practice is to have that inside, to manage our feeling, to manage our craving, how to manage that. I have one person calling me, and they have been, and they tried to suicide, you know, because of many depression, many stress, and they don't know how to deal with that. They feel so lonely. They no longer want to live, and they try to do away with this body. They think that doing away with the body, their lonely will be no longer real. Their depression is not no longer real.
I tried 17 years ago to do away with my body, and I almost became successful. I basically drank 2 bottles of wine and ate 100 pills of tranquilizers.
Uh-huh.
And there's times where I still feel that the imprint is there.
Sure.
And a lot of things have changed in my life. I'm really thankful for that. But there's times where I feel like that the imprint is so strongly in there that I don't know what to do with it.
The
the imprints there, but now you have the way to work with it.
Yeah.
So the Buddha said never give up. The Buddha never give up. There's always for us to work with our imprint. So if you say that I have karma, and then that karma will be with me forever. No. The Buddha said that you have the ability to change that karma. So the Buddha always give us choice. You always give your way. No, Buddha not give you choice. You always give yourself choice to work. That's why in Buddhism we don't have destiny. We don't have destiny. You say that it's already predestiny. No. If you already have a free destiny, then you never become Buddha. Because always. So in Buddhism always give you the way out. Always give you the way out. Never give up. This is the matter you have, the intention, you want to work with it or not. If you want to work, there is always a way, always method to do it. So always the way out. So we have to educate our young people. Show them the way. Work with their body and their mind, because now in today's society a lot of young people, they have no way out. We don't really show them that they always have hope to do better, but because of the ignorance, the delusion that they cannot see it and nobody help them. And all this overwhelmed them. The cravings. Because you know our society, you know, it's also see a lot of craving. Everywhere. Every advertisement is craving. Mm-hmm. You see on the web, on the app. Yeah. Every app on the TV is the craving. Mm-hmm. Always if we do that, how can you educate the young people? You know? And the young people consciousness is very soft and very sensitive. Everything that you see imprint there, the seeds on their consciousness. Always lust on the TV. Lust on the TV. Always
crazy. It's always about more too. It's always more and more and more.
Yeah, more never. More. Yeah.
Not much is enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they keep continue every time that you turn on the TV, it's this. Mm-hmm. House, body, clothes, always extracts craving on the people. So we have to educate the people that if you want a better society, a healthy society, you have to do somewhere, you have to educate our people of advertisement. Advertisement. That's why I even the TV here, I Hollywood watched. Sometimes I watch the news for the weather. So you have to protect yourself. You have to protect yourself. Protect your children. Bring them with the nature. Nature is healing. Don't water the seeds of craving. Every day you keep feed yourself on this craving, we will never walk on the earth, never healthy in our mental consciousness and healthy on our body. So we have to water out with love, lucid love, with joy of something that is healthy. So this is what we work on. What do we have to work on with our society? Contact, feeling, craving. So any question on craving? There's many things that I can talk on, you know, endlessly on that. So contemplate on that, on the craving part, feelings. Because when you have craving, you have it's not a sequential here, you know. Sometimes you have craving, and craving gives rise to feeling. So it's very interdependent on each other, very interconnected. So contemplate, look deeply in your life. What kind of thing are you craving for? And what are you craving for thus far? And this craving is running your life, our life. Craving running our life. Carry away our mindfulness.
I saw a sign lately that recently that said, what you think you need controls you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then this craving control you.
Mm-hmm.
Craving is controlling you. Running your life, our life, control our life. So contemplate on craving in your life. In the morning, what do you crave for? And craving is constantly running. Maybe silently in your body, in your mind. And our life feed on that. What kind of craving? So today I just, so whatever you desire, just make up your own body and mind. So in your meditation, think about, contemplate on that. What kind of thing that you desire for? What kind of thing you are craving for? So that you can plant the seeds. Because everything that you crave for, it generate a seed. Because thought, the thing that you give thought to. So we will stop here and think about the thing that we talked today. So thank you everyone for listening. Just bring yourself back and relax.